audience, welcome to this week's Good Work Show. We have a good one for you. Hope you're feeling well.
Yeah.
Or I know, it's that if you are not feeling well,
or just self-imposed 2 weeks to yourself, there is a backlog of Good Work Shows you can listen to.
That is correct, yes.
So that when you reemerge, you can know all of the places you can go volunteer and support.
So I was just listening to an interview on another station, but I was listening to an interview, and the guy was talking about, I caught the tail end, so I...
You don't know what suspect, he was talking about.
I think it was about...
Let's hope.
Yeah, I think it was about brands that were going to be winning at this point. And he was talking about entertainment and news... And, but he said Netflix and like the streaming services, their stock prices are up because they're suspecting that people are going to be at home and they're going to be doing something. What they had trended down on was like theme parks and amusement parks because people aren't going to be going. However,
it's a great time to go.
It is. That's what, and somebody was telling my sister that because my nephews are supposed to be trying to go to Disney for their birthday. was like, but they're not slowing down at Disney. That was the word. It was like Disneyland is still wide open.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it will see. Time will tell. But it was really funny. I saw this tweet and it said, hey, I see the flight. This person lives in New York. They're like, hey, looking at these plane tickets, anybody want to go to Puerto Rico for lunch?
Yes. You can pretty much go anywhere now.
Screenshot the ticket and it was, he's like, no, but seriously, the flights are cheaper than brunch.
Like the flights to Hawaii were like $100-some.
The question, though, is can you...
Anybody want to go?
I mean, but the thing about it is, if you come back, can you afford that extra 2 weeks to be... I mean, that's...
I feel like I want somebody to tell me to stay home for 2 weeks.
And not be ill, and, but just...
Well,
they say this is what introverts have been training for their whole lives.
Yeah.
Like, just the ability to be like, oh, so stay home, don't touch anybody, don't talk to anybody, be by myself, eat peanut butter and jelly and watch Netflix, done.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, I can do that without, you know.
I still want to go to the gym. So I would have to be like, can I just get a gym pass? I could do everything else in the house. I don't like to work out in my house as much. I will do it, but I can't do it as well as I do.
I did see somebody, they were reporting from Italy, and that was their actual complaint, apparently. So they have a job, but their side job is fitness model.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was like, okay. And that was his biggest complaint.
Well, if that's his side job, yes, he needs to work out.
So he was struggling with the idea of not being able to go to the gym.
Yeah.
So, you know, everybody's got their thing. I don't know what I would. Well, I made sure to stock up that I had coffee.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because you couldn't.
And I need to stop on the way home and get tea.
Mm. Yeah, that's a good one. Okay, but I have questions about quarantine. So.
Yes. I don't know any answers.
Okay.
I have no answers. But we can make it.
Can you order Postmates and like Grubhub on quarantine? Can you order food to your house?
If there's going to be someone who's going to risk going to a house.
I know, but how are they going to know? Like, say you were on self.
Well, the question is, yes, I'm sure you can do it. But the question is if things
like
get
illegal?
Really bad. No, it's not illegal.
Oh.
But like,
I don't know.
People going to be unwilling to do those things? So that's why they're should you have your stuff? Because, you know, there may be some Uber Eats people that are going to be willing to take the risk. But if they don't want to, then there's going to be a
shortage. Are going to need to work. Like, I feel like some people are still going to have a. I feel like the delivery people are going to, because everybody's not going to have.
No, and you kind of want to be able to support people to be able to keep working.
So
that would, I mean, that would be
so
ideal.
You can, but like say if the government said you had to be on quarantine, can you order, do they watch your house?
I don't think so. I don't think we have the capacity to have people sitting outside your house.
I just want to know what the rules are in case it comes up. I'm asking for a friend.
Don't be patient. Like, what is it? Like patient zero. Don't be that person. It's like we told her to stay home, and then she started ordering Uber and Postmates.
And then I'm the one who started
and then
all
that
the
person
stuff.
Has to make five other deliveries, and then and then it all traces back to there's this little house.
So what exactly? I just want to know the parameters. Can you go outside and like jog on quarantine?
I don't think you're supposed to expose yourself to other people.
But what if it's outside on your street? Like you're not. It's out in the open air.
I think the idea is that you're not supposed to expose yourself to other people.
I know, I get that part, but...
So, what if you... If you want to go jogging, I mean, there's that, and you want to run around your neighbor, I don't know, but I guess don't do that, and
then,
like...
We need to ask someone. I just want to know. I got to know all the... In case it happens, I need to know all the... I'll just
ask the people. Well, what you're not supposed to do is what the one guy did. Did you see the person who was on quarantine, and then... Well, actually, the government can look at you because there's a story. There's a guy, he was on quarantine. He decided, though, that he did not want his daughter to miss a school dance. Oh. So he's like, well, I'm just going to take you. And the government was like, that's great. If you leave your house again, we're going to put you under house arrest.
Oh.
So there's some leeway, but not much.
Leeway, yeah. House arrest only goes so far, too, because once you pass that threshold, that's it.
I don't think that you want to end up with an anklet for it.
Right.
So I think let's try to follow the rules and wash our
hands.
Well,
we don't know what the rules. Oh, the other rules.
The other rules, okay. To not make it possible.
To not make
so
it
we're
possible,
we're
going to
wash our hands and not do what I just did, which was touch my face. And that is the hardest
I know
thing because I feel like as soon as you can't do it, it's like,
that's
why does my
nose
itch?
Yeah, my eyelashes are itching.
Yeah, yesterday I had my glasses on and my eyelashes were hitting my glasses. And I'm like, oh. God, I want to scratch my eyes so bad, but then somebody sneezed in the room and I'm like, can't touch.
Yeah,
all of the limitations, but we are here. And if you are, at home and you're looking for some things to do or be interested about or learn about, we're here to provide that information to you. So you can, I guess Elaine's not allowed to have her tea, so there's that.
Yeah.
Sorry. I'm pretty sure I just drank mine. I mean, I'm pretty sure that just happened. Oh, it was in the way.
Ah, and that's over with. Yeah.
Okay, great.
Okay, so anyway,
so rules.
Yes, sticking to rules. Yes. So the wash your hands thing is a big one.
What's your song?
I just been using no scrubs because I feel like scrub and scrubs just kind of goes together. So I've been using that.
Mine has been Raspberry Beret by Prince.
Yeah.
I do feel the need now to change it up because I can't get it out of my head, but I do like the song. So it's not bothering me yet. I assume at some point it will bother me. But that list of songs, that was probably the most useful.
Yeah, it was. It was a really good tip.
That was a good tip. So some of the other ones were Jolene, Dolly Parton.
And
Love on Top.
And Beyonce. Outkast was a Sorry Miss Jackson.
Yep. There was
there wasn't any 2 Chainz, by the way, Dale. Sorry.
No, there was no I don't recall
but
there.
I
being,
feel like you could make any song. You just gotta go to the right section of the song.
The song. There, the chorus, chorus. Lizzo, Truth Hurts was an option.
There was that first one you sent.
That's the one I'm thinking about. Okay. It wasn't all the Atlanta based ones, but it definitely had Lizzo, had Karma Chameleon by Culture Club on there. So a little something for everybody.
Yeah.
Mix it up. If you're tired of the ABCs, go ahead and use
and
that.
And Happy Birthday is one, too.
Yeah, but
you could
who
do
wants
happy
to sing
birthday?
That repeatedly?
I feel like...
But you have to know how long to wash your hands with that's what helps.
Yeah.
So, anyway, all that to say, we actually are here to talk about nonprofits in Atlanta.
That is true, yes. So, and the nonprofits are still going strong.
We are, because a lot of folks... I mean, and this is when you start seeing the importance of of nonprofits.
Yes.
So, we've had the food bank on a while ago.
Yeah.
So, one of the things that we're looking at is that, okay, so if schools close, there are a lot of children in our community and across the country who depend on going to school to get at least 2 hot square meals a day.
Yeah.
If kids are out of school, if the schools are closing, that is a huge impact. So there are a lot of nonprofits like the Atlanta Food Bank, Community Food Bank, that are going to be able to fill some gaps in our community. Mm-hmm. If people have to be out of work and we can't figure out a way that people can continue to get paid if they have to take time off. Yeah.
And we're still open at Goodwill because if you need extra income to fill in the gaps when you know, maybe you're underemployed anyway, and then now maybe you're in a industry like the airline industry that's super struggling right now, and so you need extra income, then you can come to Goodwill.
Yeah.
We're still open. We'll help you find a job, and we'll be safe about it and make sure that you do that.
So important that our nonprofits continue to be that kind of community safety net for people who are out there who may need a little bit of extra support. every day, or especially there's going to be some folks that are going to realize maybe how close to the edge we may be living when the unexpected happens. So we're happy to continue to shed that light. So today we've got two great organizations that are working with kids. So the first one.
Yes, the first one is Scholarship America. So Andrea Smith is going to come on and talk to us about that. And it's around the time.
Yeah.
That, well, actually, we're probably at the tail end of the time where students are getting their acceptance letters for college. So they're ready to go. But if they are looking for that financial aid support, Scholarship America is the place to go. They have thousands of scholarships that they are managing. So we're going to bring Andrea in to talk about that and learn how they're doing. So we had an interview with her a little while ago. So we're going to bring you that interview just to talk about the work that they're doing. And when we talked about filling gaps, they also have a program. They can do that. So a lot of times students can get into college and then for some reason or not, they can't stay in college. And what they're trying to do is remove the financial barrier from that. So if it is a financial barrier that is preventing them from finishing college, that's where Scholarship America can help. And so
and we're not talking big things. We're talking
small things.
You know, I got a flat tire.
Brakes on your car. Maybe you don't have enough for books or,
lab fees or whatever.
Yes, absolutely. So she's going to come and talk about that. And then we have Keith Crawford from the Young Executives who's going to come on and talk about the work they're doing with youth right here in our metro Atlanta area. So it should be a good show.
Yeah, great show. There's a lot of content here. Like we said, you can always visit us on YouTube and on any place that you get your podcast to listen to some back episodes, see what you might have missed.
Binge watch and listen.
Yeah, so.
Is binge listen a thing?
Sure, absolutely. Oh,
is it called binge listen? Oh.
Okay, so I do that.
Binge listen. It's hard to say.
It's not the easiest. So
we'll be back. You're listening to The Good Work Show.
To learn more about the show and how your company can tell their story, like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Good Work Show.
Audience, welcome back to The Good Work Show. We've got Andrea Smith with us here. And she is the Vice President of Development for Scholarship America. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me.
With a different hat.
Yes. Different hat. Yeah, and last time we were talking about Junior League, which is also a great organization, by the way. Yes. Check that out, too. But Scholarship America, so tell us all about that. Because if people aren't aware of what Scholarship America does, we should definitely inform them about that and the mission of the organization.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So we are a national not-for-profit organization, and we are the largest scholarship organization in the nation.
Wow.
And we help students by getting them to college. We also help them with advocating for them, in addition just making sure that they are successful in their college career.
And you've got to be busy right now because this is the time frame where everybody is getting their acceptance letters. And they need to be if they haven't already applied because, like, the FAFSA is usually due, like, by the first, after the first of the year when taxes come. I remember all of that. So this is, like, this is the time where things need to be getting in. So you guys are super busy right now, huh?
Yes, we are super busy. And we work with about 1,000 partners.
Wow.
And those could be corporate foundations, family foundations, philanthropic individuals, and we're managing their scholarship program. So right now is very busy for our team because those applications are out and students are filling them out and getting them back in. And our scholarships that we give out range from $500 scholarships to full complete tuition for college.
Nice. Wow. Nice. Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about the need. So there has been multiple conversations in the universe right now about the cost of higher education. Mm-hmm. So can you share just a little bit about, because I was very blessed because I did have a scholarship to go to college. My college education was paid for. So, well, part of it. The other part I still pay $155 every month. And I'm like, I will always
pay. One day you'll pay it off.
I will. But, you know, for $150, I'm very lucky at when I was able to consolidate my loans and do what I did because, you know, whatever. I know other people are dealing with much bigger issues than that. So talk to us a little bit about some of the things that people may be able to get around or not have to deal with if they were to work with you at Scholarship America.
Absolutely. So we have about 1,400 scholarship programs. So students can go to our website, as can parents. We have information for both students and parents on how to search for and fill out scholarship applications. We have many scholarships that they can search and fill out as well. But it truly is starting early and educating yourself, asking questions. It can be a complicated process.
Yeah.
And we are a resource for those parents and students. And being able to reach out to us and utilize the information that we have on our website is very important.
Yeah. And I'm sure that's how I was very lucky to have a very good guidance counselor.
Mm-hmm. Well, in a lot of cases, they're overstressed if you have a counselor at school.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
So,
absolutely.
Yeah. So I know some schools are doing, having really innovative ways that they're doing that. But I mean, usually probably a couple hundred kids to one.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
It's true. It's
just made myself a nuisance.
Yeah.
Well, you advocated for yourself.
I did. That's right. That's what I did. Yes. That's what we'll call it.
Yes. And that's, you know, a lot of students don't know how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then being able to learn to advocate for themselves, you know, having their parents advocate for them, not just to get into school, but once you're there.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So talk to us about that part, because that is also sort of what the organization does, not just the scholarship part, which is super important. That's why you have all of these programs and you're busy, but then you have a number of resources for students who are starting college, who find themselves in one place or another, and they still need that help. So tell us about that, because I think that's very unique and interesting part about what Scholarship America does.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we have a policy and advocacy office in D.C. where we are working to help advocate for change at a federal level, because it's not just the dollars that they need to go to school. I mean, as you mentioned earlier, tuition continues to get higher and higher, and we need to be advocating for those students. And it's also being able with scholarships to provide what we like to call wraparound services. So it's not just the dollars that the students need. They may need, you know, some emergency aid, financial aid. There is, you know, an accident or something happens with an emergency pops up, you have to get your car fixed. You need to pay your rent, and you have to decide whether I'm going to get the car fixed so I can go to school and go to my job, or I'm going to pay my tuition. So we have emergency grants that we're able to provide students, and those are averaging about $500 to $600. And one of the major reasons that students drop out of school is for financial reasons. So if we're able to help with those instances, then that can help keep them in school.
And it's not huge, like you said, it's not huge things. It's like, well, I got to go to work this semester, so then I'm not going to go to school, I'll go work, and then do you go back, and that kind of stuff.
It's those unforeseen circumstances that happen to us every day that, you know, you hope you've been able to save for that, but students aren't able to do that. And if we can help them out with that $500 or $600 grant, then that's important. That can be the make or break to help them stay in school.
Yeah. And I think that's an important selling piece for what you do in terms of development and getting the family foundations and maybe even individual giving, but to be able to tell the story of, hey, this is a person who worked really hard to get into college, and they may or may not have gotten scholarships, and maybe they did, but now they have a medical emergency. They had to go to the emergency room, and they're okay. But then they're trying to decide, can I really go back to school? Can I actually be in school or not? And everybody knows, you stop going to school, it's so much harder
to go back.
It is. Yes. And then go back. So to keep them going and keep them in there, and it just has to be crushing for somebody who worked really hard to get there and then have a $200-$300 setback and have to step back from it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so we've had emergency grants that we've had, you know, given throughout many, many years, but we're looking at a national model. So many years we've had an institution-based model. We're working with certain schools to be able to distribute those funds, but ideally we want a national model that any student could apply for emergency funds. They go to a website, they fill out a short application, and that's where we're moving towards. Right now we're actually doing a pilot program here in Atlanta with Achieve Atlanta and working with their students with that, which will eventually be the national model concept of a short application, less than 10 questions. The application is vetted, and the students find out within 48 hours if they're going to receive the funds or
That's
not.
Great.
Because it's an emergency. They need it right now.
Right, and that's the biggest thing. It's like, I don't have time to wait for. I remember I had a cell phone bill that my sister, thankfully my sister was able to
That was your emergency fund. That was a little bit, don't think you should apply for the
No. And that's the thing. Like, I had, so I had my parents, of course, who were able to support. Mm-hmm. And then I had an older sister who was working and had a job and had the ability
and she liked you enough
and
to give
she
you the
liked
money.
Me enough to give me
she
the
could
money.
Have said no.
She yeah. could have said no, but she did like me enough at the time to, you know, give me that kind of support. Mm-hmm. But there's so many students that are going into school mm-hmm. and they don't have that support. Mm-hmm. I think on that part, but also in the getting started. So if mm-hmm. you are lucky enough to have parents who've been to college or an older sibling who's gone through the process of, you know, applying for college, applying for scholarships, applying for, you know, doing your FAFSA, then you already are at an advantage. But if you don't mm-hmm. have that, one of the things that I thought was interesting when I was poking around on your website is that you guys even have resources on how to pick a school. Mm-hmm. And I think that's all. I always, you know, I'm very interested. I went to a private university and I was always sometimes wondering about folks who were there. And I'm like, okay, I know I'm here for free, so I can kind of do whatever I want to. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, see how your major is going to pay this tuition bill. So, you know, at the very beginning when you're making choices, you know, how do you put yourself in the best position to succeed?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, it is, you know, being able to provide that research and support for students is so mm-hmm. important mm-hmm. because where you think you may want to go
mm-hmm. right,
may not necessarily be the best place for you. Mm-hmm. And if it's the first time that you've ever been away from home and you get there and maybe you have no other friends that are there and you right. are maybe a little shy and it's hard for you to get to know people. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, once you're there and maybe you've, you know, received a scholarship and you are, you know, full ride to go to this college, but you don't feel like it's the place you need to be.
Mm-hmm.
And being able to have resources that students can go to, okay, now what do I do now? I'm mm-hmm. here, but I don't think this is where I really want to be.
Yeah.
And you don't want the students to drop out of school because it's not the right fit. It's okay now. How can we help you find that right fit?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And I think the other part of that is being able to select, be educated about the college that you're selecting. Because in some cases, you know you might want to go to college, but you're not dead set on what exactly you want to do.
Yes.
And so there's a lot of, I mean, and it happens quite often where people will go to college and they're not sure, and everybody changes their major at least once. I mean, you know, it's yeah, just that, yeah. that you're going to change it.
I
but
knew.
If you want to do yeah, but if you change it and they don't even have the major that
right.
you want to change
mm-hmm.
it to, that information on the front end of that could be the key to unlocking your success at the organization, just even if you never have an emergency, but just by the fact that mm-hmm. you want to go to the right school in the first place.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. So definitely great information that's on the website. Let's get the website right now in case people are interested. Mm-hmm. And at this point, before they hear anything more, they want to
yes.
go on and stuff because it's scholarship application time. So
yes,
if they've not started that, they need to know. So let's give them that.
ScholarshipAmerica.org.
ScholarshipAmerica.org.
Well,
it's super easy. 1,400 different scholarship programs.
Yes,
yeah.
Correct.
So that's a lot. Mm-hmm. There is a scholarship for you. I'm telling you, like, I remember people saying, hey, whatever you are, there's a scholarship for you. If you're left-handed, there's a scholarship for you. If you're short, there's a scholarship. I was looking for all the ones that.
Yes.
That
there are scholarships
there,
for
there's
everybody.
A scholarship for that. It's like there's an app for that. There's a scholarship
yes.
for that. Yes. So we're going to talk to you a little bit more after the break, Andrea, and talk a little bit more about Scholarship America. And then also, you mentioned something very interesting is that you work with about 1,000 different partners mm-hmm. to be able to build up the funds for this. And I think that would be important because there may be families who are looking to say, we really believe in education mm-hmm. and we want to do something with, you know, the resources that we have. How do we get them involved? Or corporate partners who
Absolutely.
Want to and believe in education, especially higher ed, and how do we get involved in creating a scholarship? Mm-hmm. I think that would be very educational for our listeners. So we're going to take a break. We're going to come back. You are listening to The Good Work Show.
To learn more about the show and how your company can tell their story, like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Good Work Show.
Audience, welcome back to The Good Work Show. We have been chatting with Andrea Smith, who is the Vice President of Development for Scholarship America. I almost said Scholarship Atlanta. I think we were just talking about Atlanta, and yes. I was like, it was getting ready to mix. But this is Scholarship America, so it is like big everywhere. National organization 1,400 different scholarship programs for students who, wherever they are, to apply for those scholarships, use the resources that are on the website to learn how to pick the college for them and tools. But then you also have this other part is where we were, when before we took a break, we said we were going to come back with this, is that you work with 1,000 different partners to be able to provide the funds for the scholarships. So talk to us about that. So say I've got money, or my family has money, or I work for an organization and we want to start a scholarship. We really believe in higher education and want to be able to support students in our area. How do we do that? How do you go about setting up a scholarship if you don't do it on your own and go through scholarship? Because I think it would probably be a lot easier. I mean, if you do it on your own, you got to read through all the essay. I mean, there's a lot, right? So tell us how all of that works.
Well, with Scholarship America, we are able to help you do everything. We can help you from the design of the scholarship, talking through, okay, how much money are you wanting to put into the scholarship? What would your disbursements each year look like? Is it in perpetuity? Is it over a certain amount of years? Is there a certain industry? Is it need-based? Mm. Is it merit-based? We have amazing teams that can work through that with you, whether it's an individual or a family foundation or a corporate foundation. And we can do that, promote the scholarship. We intake the applications. We review the applications, do the disbursements, you name it.
See, that's gold. That's just like turnkey. I can just say, here's
the
money.
So when I win the lottery tonight,
you're calling
me. I'll call you.
Yes. But the part about the marketing it too, I think, is super important because you have 1,400 other programs. If I wanted to create that last one, you already have a pipeline of here's where I get the information on it. And I think a lot of times, from what I remember when I was applying for scholarships, and even when my daughter was, is that there are so many scholarships out there, but you don't know where they are.
Yes.
And so when companies or families have them, they get very few applications. Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, your counselors will say, those are the ones you got to go find because you don't have that much competition. Mm-hmm. But then you have to go find and hunt them. Mm-hmm. And for somebody who wants to give the money away, you've got money, but it's hard to give it away.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And we promote the scholarship programs through all of our social media channels as well as on our website. And, I mean, we work with Wells Fargo for their veterans program, James Beard Foundation for, you know, kids that want to go to culinary school. You name it, we have the type of scholarship. And it truly is getting the word out there because especially if it's a small kind of niche market, you really got to hunt for it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we work individually with each partner on how best to market their scholarships. Because, again, if it is like a niche market, is yes, we do promote on social media, but how do we target even more, you know, specifically for that area that the students are going to go into?
That's fantastic. Soup to nuts.
Yes.
That's great. We can do all of that. Yeah. So is there like a threshold for how much somebody would have to give to be able to set this up, or what is it?
That's a great question. And it really depends on what you're wanting to do, how much you're wanting to give. We typically say nothing less than $25,000, but again, it's how much do you want to give, for how long, to how many students. We can also have the funds and invest the funds for you, so if you want to put all the funds with our organization, then we can do that as well, and we work through what your threshold is, how much you want to give each year, to how many students, and then we can do the math for you, so to speak.
And does it have be an ongoing thing, or can it be like a one-off? So like if I had a windfall and I said, well, I want to give one scholarship, full tuition scholarship, to one student this one time. Is that something that somebody could work with you as well?
Absolutely.
Okay.
We don't do that as much as kind of the ongoing, but absolutely we can do that. And we do have some estate gifts that are given to us, and they're very specific in their estate planning, how they want those dollars dispersed. And sometimes we work with them beforehand. Sometimes we haven't. So once we get that information, then we have to work with the family to make sure that those dollars are put to where they intended them to go. And many times it could be, okay, this is X amount of dollars, and once that's spent down, then that's it.
Got it.
Yeah. So you also are doing something for individuals who are already working out in the world, and they are working somewhere where they have tuition assistance at their company. So tell us about that, because super important. I also feel like that's one of those benefits that not a lot of people take full advantage of when they're out there working. Could be for a variety of reasons, but you have, if your organization or you're listening and you're running a company and you want to, and you really believe in education and for your workforce and getting them to that next level, you can help companies set up a tuition assistance program?
Absolutely, we can. And that's something that we've expanded on over the past few years. And companies are really attracted to that because it's adding value to your employees being a part of the organization. And it's pretty turnkey for us to do that. And we actually have many corporations here in Atlanta that we're working with. But it's become very popular for companies to do that.
Yeah. And and that's great. And it gives you, I almost feel like that might be even more, it might be a better way to go because you have the third party who is sort of doing that.
Absolutely.
So you take that element of favoritism or, you know, I'd love for you to get, go to this school versus this school, all of it out of that equation and really
Elaine
get to focus
all
on
us to go to UGA.
I might let people go to other places, but UGA, I mean, look at Andrea, she's got the red and black notes. But anyway, yes, but I think that that helps it.
It does.
It helps it feel a little bit better and takes all the pressure off, I think.
Absolutely. Yeah. For us to be able to do that for corporations, it truly does take that pressure off.
And yeah.
You don't feel like you have to show favoritism to your employees. It's important.
Fantastic. That's awesome.
So talk to us a little bit about some of the outcomes, or if you have any stories or anything that you'd like to share with some folks that you've helped that have been able to, you know, this might sound cheesy, make their dreams come true because they've been able to get support from your organization.
Absolutely. And there's one that comes to mind. Her name is Charlene Hinton. And we have, so while we manage many, many scholarships, we did not have one that was just Scholarship America's until about 7 years ago. So we developed a scholarship called the Dream Award. And it's for students that they demonstrate they've overcome obstacles. They have to have completed 1 year of college. And the reason we did that is there are many scholarships that may run out after your first year of college. So Charlene was a part of our first cohort of students. And I'm getting chills just thinking about her story. And she had been homeless multiple times, just kind of throughout her high school and into her college career. And she heard about the Dream Award. And she was able to apply for the Dream Award, get the Dream Award so she could stay in school and finish. Charlene joined our board of directors not long after she graduated. Yes. And she moved out to San Francisco and was working for Ernst & Young. And then took a sabbatical and moved to France to teach English as a second language. And she's taken a step back from the board because she decided to stay in France and continue on with her teaching. But because of Scholarship America, Charlene was able to stay in school and to finish college through this because of the Dream Award. And she tells her story to many people, to many audiences, and then to be able to be a part of our board of directors. And one of the reasons we wanted her to be a part of the board of directors is to be a voice for students. And she's been that voice for students for so many years. And just knowing what she has been able to accomplish thus far, that's why I do what I do. And I think that's probably why everyone at Scholarship America does what they do for students.
That is a fantastic story. And, I mean, what a great ending to it that she was able to go somewhere else and help teach. I mean, she's not just, not only her board service, but also giving back in another way. So that's cool. So we've got about 2 minutes left, Andrea. The scholarships that you have there, talk to us about the variety. You know, you 1,400 of them, so obviously they're in different areas. But need-based, some need-based, some merit-based. Like, talk to us about the mix of scholarships that you have. Because out of 1,400, I'm assuming there's a lot. There's a lot of variety in that.
There's a lot of variety, and it is. It can be need-based. It can be merit-based. Be industry-based. We have some Children of Employee scholarships with the specific corporations that we work with. There's one kind of unique scholarship that we manage, and it's the Families of Freedom Scholarship Fund. And Families of Freedom Scholarship Fund was established a week after 9/11 by President Clinton and Senator Bob Dole, and $100 million was raised at the time. Wow. And we've been managing that program since the very beginning, and it's for children of those that lost their life during the attacks of 9/11. And then years later, we added in those students of those that became permanently disabled from the recovery efforts. And that scholarship will sunset in 2030. So we're able to provide funds to those students and those children who lost their parents in 9/11.
That just for, so now, I mean, I'm not eligible. However, somebody may be. Is that just for undergraduate, or do you have, like, you know, 2030 from 9/11, a little older? So is it, can they go back to school? Can they do graduate work? Are there parameters around that?
So it is just for undergraduate. Okay. But if you think of the permanently disabled, yeah, around the recovery efforts, those that develop cancer, right, or other injuries, we didn't know about that.
Yeah, that's
until
true.
Years later. Yeah. So that was added,
okay,
after, you know, many years of the funds being distributed because there was a need.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Yeah.
For your other scholarships, though, with the, and you have a second left, but are there stuff for higher for education beyond undergraduate, or is it just focused on undergraduate studies?
It's just focused on undergraduate, okay, studies, and we've talked about that, mm-hmm, within our executive team of, you know, are there other opportunities, mm-hmm, for kind of the graduate student, but there just really aren't, mm-hmm, a lot, mm-hmm, out there. I think that could definitely change. Right now, it's mainly for 2-year, 4-year, and technical.
Cool.
All right. 2-year, 4-year, and technical.
Absolutely.
That is fantastic. Mm-hmm. Good to know. We have a great technical college system in Georgia, TCSG, so definitely. Well, thank you so much for coming on and talking to us about Scholarship America. Everybody, if you know young people or even older adults who are going back to school, yes, and it's time to get those scholarships in, it is time to do it. ScholarshipAmerica.org. Go on the website. Lots of resources there. Thank you so much for coming on the
show.
Thank
you so much for having me.
Absolutely. You're listening to The Good Work Show.
To learn more about the show and how your company can tell their story, like us on Facebook. And follow us on Twitter at Good Work Show.
Audience, welcome back to the Good Work Show. We are sitting here with Keith Crawford, who is from the Young Executives. He got the shirt on and everything.
I know, he is prepared.
Yes, that's right. So tell us all about your role at Young Executives and about the organization.
Yes. Well, I'm Keith Crawford. I'm the executive director of the nonprofit, the Young Executives Foundation. We were founded September 18, 2017. And our
not
mission.
Not when that hand sanitizer expired.
Was it September?
I don't know if it was September, but it was definitely.
I have to check now. It was April.
Okay. A few months off.
Yeah.
But we were founded on a mission pretty much to strive and encourage our underprivileged communities by giving them endless opportunities. And with that, we've helped over 6,000 families within a matter of 2 years, from partnering with 21 Savage and PNC Bank, Citizens Bank, with different back to school drives, community forums and things of that nature to help our communities grow and be successful.
Great. So let's dig into that a little bit on, you know, is there an age range of the kids that you're working with? And talk to us, like, specifically about some of the things that you're doing to teach. I mean, to reach 6,000 kids, mm-hmm, and families in that short amount of time is great. So let's talk about some of the stuff that you're actually doing. Like, just recently, what have you been working on?
Okay. The age group, we go from K through 12.
Okay.
Everybody can fit in there. Yeah. Right now we're doing that, but primarily our focus within the next couple of years is going to be middle school and high school.
Okay.
Specifically because sixth grade is when students start to fill themselves out, and that's the most important time that we have to get them active inside of something, whether that's college, whether that's a career, but they need to have their mind focused on something. Mm-hmm. And with that, we've done a financial literacy panel, and that financial literacy panel goes into details talking about saving, investing, financial literacy, wealth. And I've seen in underprivileged communities, we do not have that as a open forum or open dialogue.
Yes. Yeah.
And we need that. And that was one of the things that me and my team wanted to provide for our communities, was a safe place where you can come and actually learn about money, learn how to make your money make money.
So, because I mean, that's good for kids and
adults.
Grown people.
Yeah.
So the parents should have been in the room. Were they?
They were.
Yes.
And that one was more so geared towards our young professionals. Around like the high school age, people about to go to college. Because you never know. You know, I was a broke college student when I went to University of West Georgia. And, mm-hmm, you know, I had to figure out how I was going to make some food.
I think most
and,
people are broke college students.
Yeah. I think everybody was. Yeah.
Those things go together.
You don't really know how broke you are until later. You're like, man, I was broke.
Yeah.
You were.
Yeah.
You made some things
really
shake.
Broke.
Sure.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Make it stretch. That's really great. So, what else?
Yeah.
On top of that, we also do career and job expos as well. So the first year we did it was with Build Yourself Up Academy. It's a nonprofit that we partner with. And with them, we did it with McDonald's, Subway, City of Atlanta, APS, and a few other nonprofits and big Fortune 500 companies where students were able to come get an internship and or a job for the summer. And we know being in Fort Atlanta, it can be a little hard sometimes in underprivileged communities to get money and get stuff just for their youth. And that was just a safe place for them to come and meet some people, grow the network, because your network is your net worth. And that's what I teach them all the time, is who you know, sometimes more so than what you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, when they understand that, they've been able to kind of use that to their advantage and, you know, go into rooms and walk in with their head high and feel confident to, you know, meet whoever they need to meet in order to make that job.
Cool. So, Keith, how did you get connected with the Young Executive? Were you founder?
Yes, I'm the founder.
So, yep. So tell us about how you started. Obviously, broke college student. You, yeah. maybe that had something to do with it. But really, how did? What was the impetus for you starting this organization? And how did you grow it to where it is today?
Yes. So I was from Atlanta, like I said, and I've seen people have dreams and aspirations that failed and did not become a reality. Mm-hmm. And me being from Atlanta, I wanted to be a strong advocate for our youth, and they are our future. So with that, I had a strong support system being a part of Maynard Jackson Youth Foundation, former mayor of Atlanta, and as well as Carver Early College High School, which I was able to go to college at 16 and was able to matriculate 24 credits before graduating high school and transferred that to West Georgia.
So now it just made me feel dumb.
Yeah.
Thought I was doing something.
No,
but
you
now
weren't doing anything.
Nope.
You didn't graduate at 16.
Nope.
And you know, it was just those things that I wanted to make sure that our youth had. A lot of people don't have strong support systems for every reason. And for to give them something to live by, some morals, some more just characters, and those key principles that we talk about, which are financial literacy, career development, college readiness, community service, and health and wellness, those are things that we have to provide for ourselves and in our youth. And being on the south side of Atlanta, Georgia, you don't see that all the time. Mm-hmm. And we wanted to just give them those opportunities that they can be successful and for them to be able to have a dream that they were given and show them that this can be reality for a sense. So that was the reason why.
That's fantastic. And it's so important. We've talked to a number of organizations on here where we talk about the idea of modeling and modeling good, not good behavior. That's not the right thing, but just showing people what they could do. And that can become a reality, because so many times people, like you said, you don't see it. So you don't know that, and you don't see it for yourself, and you don't see people who look like you or come from your part of the community is like, oh, well, that's great for that person over there. But believing that you could do something for yourself is so important to see somebody else showing you how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So how can, so are there opportunities for the community to support the work that you're doing?
Yes.
Seems like it from the look on your face. That is like, yes.
Absolutely. I was waiting for you to ask me that.
Yes. So tell us how we can support, or our listeners can support, the work that you're doing.
Yes, so we have community service events twice a month. We do them every first and every third Saturday each month. And with that, that just shows that our mission is being active and being in the underprivileged communities, giving back. So with that, we are on Instagram at @TheYoungExecutives_TheYoungExecutives on Instagram. And you can follow us, and we post all of our volunteer hours and volunteer community service events that you can be a part of. We have over a database of 50 volunteers currently, and those volunteers come out and support us from 8 o'clock a.m. for an event all the way down to the breakdown, and maybe at 5 or 6 p.m. So with that, also just sharing just the information that we're giving out for the events. We do also have an event coming up with Love Travels, which is a prom giveaway for high school girls inside of Atlanta, Georgia. And just those things, we have donations that you can be a part of, and sharing the word, I think, this is the most important thing currently that we can be doing for all the nonprofits in Atlanta, not only for myself, but other nonprofits I've been a part of as well.
Yeah. So if people want to support, do they have to be young and or an executive?
No.
I'm just asking.
That's a good question. No.
The kids are the young executives, right?
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. Just serve, make sure. Like, I just want to know, because, you know, people may be wondering. They're like, I might be young, but I'm not an executive. I might be an executive, but I'm not young. So
you're always the executive of your life. You're the chief executive officer of your life. I'm telling you.
That's beautiful.
It is. Yeah.
You can use that. You can
always
that.
Be the CEO of your life. You make the decisions. You are in charge.
Suffer the outcomes. That's true.
Yeah.
But to answer my question before we went down that path, like Confucius says.
But yes, you can. You can be any age, any person can come and help out. We have my mom, her brothers and sisters, older teachers and professors that I've been a part of.
Call your mama. Oh, you better this is your opportunity to fix that right now.
My mom and her young friends and, you know, her young people and my teachers and college professors that all have actually pitched in. Like, I just went and spoke at my high school at Carverly College about 2 weeks ago, and my teachers literally just poured in, just helped. When it came to just ideas, I also helped a few of my own teachers from high school start their own nonprofit as well. Hmm. So I'm in the process now of helping them with their paperwork, the 501c3 and all that stuff like that. So like, it was funny because I told them a joke. I said, well, you know, it's funny that I'm now helping you all out. You helped me before. Mm-hmm. But it just goes to show that community, doesn't matter what age it is, you can also help anybody.
Yeah. So what do you want to take the students to take from being in Young Executives? Obviously, the name of the organization, it kind of denotes that, hey, you're going to be something more than maybe what you even imagine that you're going to be, an executive. And that's really, you know, you talk about, you know, kids and youth coming from, you know, backgrounds and communities that really don't, you know, they don't see a lot of executives, or maybe even think that they could be an executive or even know what an executive means. Right. And so what are you hoping that they're going to take away from being connected to an organization that says you can be not only an executive, but a young executive?
I think the most important thing that I want the kids to take away and the families to take away is that you all are going to be able to get a network that will be so fulfilling amongst what you ever thought of. It goes back into what I said about who you know. Being able to go to your mentors and go to the members who you've been a part of the program, you can use those to your advantage and just building those friendships. And then on top of that as well, having their leadership skills speak for them before they walk into the room and being able to use that to their advantage to be able to be successful. Like you said, they may have not seen an executive before or a president or CEO for a company, but with them being able to be exposed at it at such an early age, like 13 or 14, then they now know about it. And now since they know about it, only thing we could do is just help them out to get there.
Right.
And those are the roles and just the aspirations I want them to be able to provide for themselves.
And it's great when people can figure that stuff out early enough that they can put themselves on the right path to get there. And you're not trying to figure it out or scramble later and that kind of stuff. You can start walking in the right direction from the very beginning. So you guys have a gala that you do in the fall. So tell us about that. We'll have you back as we get closer to the event. But go ahead and start, because are you starting to take sponsorships or anything like that to get ready?
Yeah, so our Executives Gala is this November 7, 2020, and we are super excited. This is our third annual Executives Gala, and this gala is going to be one for the books. The gala is meant to have all local commissioners, different leaders, different just pivotal people to come and celebrate for a purpose. We honor five different people inside of Atlanta, whether they are in their own industry, they work for a company that's doing something genuine for the community. It's five different awards, from community service to Creator of the Year, the Young Executive Award. And those awards show the community of the people who we need to be able to work with, in a sense. On top of that, we also are raising money for our Transforming Youth Everyday Academy. That is our TYE Academy that we are launching next year in the South Atlanta Public Schools. And with that, we just want to continue the legacy of being able to make those kids feel something great. And yeah, so November 7th, like I said, this is going to be something great. We are taking sponsorships. Contact us at info@theyoungexecs.org, and we will let you know exactly how you can help.
All right.
Fantastic.
Well, good. Well, thank you for coming by the Good Work Show, Keith. We appreciate you coming by and the work that you're doing for the Young Executives and for the Young Executives. Yes. That will be the future of our city. So you are listening to the Good Work Show.
To learn more about the show and how your company can tell their story, like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter @Good Work Show.